It's all about the next day. Coach was just talking about how every day is a new day, and it truly is. We're moving into red zone today. We've had some great, great work. And obviously when you work against a defense like ours as an offense, it presents, you know, it's the old saying, iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. And when you play against our defense, you know, from the front to the edges, with our OLBs on the edge, our secondary and how they play and how they disguise, and it just, you know, provides a great challenge, and it just makes you better day in and day out. So watching our defense compete against our offense is always, you know, it's always good for the 49ers. It's good for us as an offense to play against that kind of defense. So, you know, we're moving into the shorter field today in the red area. The windows are tighter. Things happen faster. All the guys are really working hard, dialed in. They're getting a lot thrown at them. And we do that on purpose. We believe in, you know, the whole part, whole method. And things happen fast on game day, so we throw a lot of info at them. Okay, any questions? You know, I think probably made this statement before, but we were hair off quite a bit. You know, not nearly as sharp as we needed to be. And you know, red zone statistics can be deceiving, because you know, if you're three scores up and you're in the red zone and you decide to play it a certain or a conservative way to get, you know, make it a 4-score game, make it a 3-score game, make it a 2-score game. You know, the statistics are not going to be reflective of, you know, the outcome. You know, I believe we were third in the NFL last season in red zone scoring, which, you know, just speaks volumes about our quarterback, Alex's understanding of the game, where we're at in the game. You know, you can reflect back to Detroit and New Orleans where, you know, you must score. Okay, well, that's certainly different than you need, you know, any score will get you up 2 to 3 scores. And we're in it to win it. But getting back to your question, though, you know, were we as good as we wanted to be? Heck no. Heck no. We didn't have enough time on task last year to be where we wanted to be in the red zone. And, you know, it was a matter of execution more than anything. But, you know, last year we really had to, you know, you got this much time, and what are you going to be good at? What's going to help you win? Where are you going to allocate your resources, allocate your time? And, you know, once we got comfortable with certain things at a certain point in the year, you know, we were able to devote more time in the red area because we had to get other things nailed down first. And so, you know, great lesson on history there, but irrelevant right now. This year, it's all about you know, taking the next step down there in the tight field, where you know, it's a challenge for the offense. You must be precise, you must be sharp, and you know, feel really good about the work we got this spring and as a lead-in. I'd say it's very similar. You know, I think guys' stock go up and down every day. You know, every day, every practice, every day, their stock, you know, does something. And, you know, we're certainly aware of that. And as we work together, you get a better feel for each guy and, you know, how they deal with the day in, day out. You know, we're pretty regimented. We are, you know, we're not just going to do, hey, this is what we do, and that's it. You know, there's always information, plays, situations being thrown at these guys, and, you know, you get to see how they react to it.
You guys split up and go ones on one field and twos on the other. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you do this every time, but I noticed that Alex and Josh will be on one field and Cap and Colsey on the other. Is that, why is that better?
There's nothing to it, no. No, it's just a rep. It's a function of repetition, allocation, really. And when they get tallied up at the end of the day, we generally find that they're pretty even. And that's what we aim for. And, you know, it's different at times where we might be working our shifts and motions against the defense on one field. And we might be working our bunch package on the other field. Well, this quarterback needs to be able to work on his pre-snap management. Therefore, he'll be on this field, and it might switch. So all that's orchestrated with, you know, thoughts put into it.
Why wouldn't your starting quarterback have far more snaps than the other three?
Because when we split up, we just buy so many more reps. If you follow what I'm saying, no, absolutely not, no. At times, there's certain periods we are, yeah. You know, now today we won't be doing that, but tomorrow we will. Then we actually got new and improved headsets around the NFL, which are much easier to use, much more what you would expect in the year 2012, is it?
Yeah. How are they different?
They're just, to make a long story short, the other ones, you push the button, you got to wait, you hear a beep, and then you can talk. That beep would sometimes be inconsistent. There was one time when I was doing it, and it happened to be on the same frequency as an airline in a certain city, and it was a critical situation in the game, and all you hear is Southwest pilots talking. So things, these are very efficient. You push the button, you talk, they hear, and here we go. No. Never checked to see if it got in.
Could you talk about the Michael James speed and how you're planning on using him in the offense?
You know, Michael James is fast. You know, how we're going to use him, I will not discuss because, you know, that's, you know, we're not going to talk strategy. There's no, that doesn't help us win. But, you know, when you really look at LaMichael and the body of work he put together in college, he was a very effective inside and outside runner. I think there's a lot of people that just watch their offense, which is a great offense. They do a great job there at Oregon. And they thought, oh, he's just an outside guy, you know. But he's a tough in-between the tackles runner in college. And now it's a matter of just him adapting to that in the pros. So we're throwing it all at him. And we're going to just evaluate and get a feel for what he's good at, you know. I think there's a general misconception among some people that think just because a guy's not a big guy, he can't run inside. And I think we have the guy that you know, proves that theory wrong, and that's Frank, who's not a giant, but he has such incredible vision, foot quickness, and you know, his mind and his feet work together. And you know, well, Michael's a guy that has really good vision as well, so I think you could probably see him when he plays run inside, run outside, run pass routes. And but, it, you know, it's a curve. He's doing a really good job as a rookie coming in. And, you know, it's day to day. He's right where we thought he would be.
Is it a tough transition? Probably when he ran it more outside, things are so spread out, so a lot more daylight. Is that enough? Does he have to adapt to running the entire course?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's an accurate statement. I mean, running the football in college is totally different than running it in the NFL, in a sense that, you know, the defensive lines in the National Football League are so much more physical and adept and skilled man for man. You know, in the college world, you'll find a guy here or a guy there that's a difference maker. But, you know, you can generally find people you can pick on and whatnot. Not so here. And, you know, they're so well-trained, and the coaches understand how to fix problems. If somebody's hurting them with something in the National Football League, you better believe they'll have an answer. So, you know, it's football at the highest level, and it's an adaptation for every rookie.
What do you remember about LaMichael at Oregon? I know you're running the offense at Stanford, but any memories of when you...
Bad memories? No. I think we beat him one time. We beat him one year, and I remember he was... You know, it was a race to outscore him. And I just remember he took one run and just ran right down the hashes for about 60 or 70 yards. It was a blur. But, you know, and then all I remember is he was very efficient and very effective, and a lot of respect there. You know, Michael's working through something right now. I think you probably want to talk to Jim about that. And I have a sneaking suspicion you will probably get a verbatim answer that I just gave you.
One more about Michael. Obviously, yeah. As you said, you saw him in college, you saw him before the draft. Is there anything they wrote to him that surprised you? You know, having others about this guy?
About LaMichael? No, very impressed with him as a person. A great, great, great kid to be around. Great kid to talk to. Class young man. You know, there's not a lot. I think we had a pretty good. Our scouting department does just such a good job here of looking deeper than the statistics, and they look beyond the, you know, the on the field stuff. So I think they painted a really good picture for the kind of young man he is for us. So not real surprised with anything with LaMichael.
What about Brandon Jacobs? Mm-hmm. He said a couple months ago that his goal is to bundle more power, more burst. Are you seeing any of that out of him?
Most definitely. You know, Brandon is a guy, and you think back on his career, you know, when he gets his shoulder square to the line of scrimmage and gets a forward lean, you know, he is something. He's a unique running back, and you know, we've seen a good amount of that. And you know, the big thing that I'm impressed with Brandon, one of the many things though is his, you know, he's very critical of himself. You know, he might make a great run and hit it with just some big power, and you know, he'll still say, "I could have done this better. I could have done that better." And that's a, you know, that's an impressive. We like that. You know, we like that. That's what we look for. So he's been a great fit.
I don't remember seeing him. He may have done this in the short, but, you know, come to mind. When you think of Brandon, catching passes out of the backfield. He seems to be doing that quite a bit. Mm-hmm. In practice, is that something that you want to focus on more so than everybody did in the
field? You know, as we present the offense to these guys, it's important that they're not just living in a little box. They got to experience and do everything, and then that's when we sit down and say, okay, let's focus on this with him, let's focus on that. But, you know, everybody on our offense, to a man, is probably going to practice anything we do at least once. So that's a very important part of the process. So, you know, and he's done a great job of that. He caught a swing route the other day, and it was – you know, it was like, you know, pretty good. So, you know, we're learning about our players each and every day.
How's that going? And is it a major mindset change for him to go from a halfback, a guy who's trying to avoid contact, to a fullback who's got to be seen?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some accuracy there, you know, and the fullback position requires a lot of, you know, details, how to approach a block, you know, how to finish a block, how to adjust when everything changes in front of you. The great thing about Anthony is his athleticism allows him to make those adjustments like a running back would. A fullback has to, an effective fullback, unless you're talking about just the old school hammer. I mean, he's going to have – when everything's going to – the picture's going to change on him, and instead of going in the A-gap, now he's going to have to slide to the B-gap. And we like that in our offense. We like that. We like – Bruce Miller has an uncanny ability to do that. So Anthony's got that down. He just needs to work through the, you know, the high-speed, short-area collisions and winning those battles early and winning them late. And I think the time he's had on special teams is – really been, you know, gotten him ramped up for that, because there's so much short area hand-to-hand combat and avoid and whatnot and blocking on teams. So, you know, he's no stranger to that. You know, it's day-to-day. It's day-to-day. It's period-to-period. You know, Jim is instrumental in that. He does a great job of seeing everything and looking and all the different areas, each position, and balancing things out. So, you know, it's day to day. It's a good, it's you know, with the numbers we have and the ability to split groups, it just gets everybody reps, gets the young guys more experience than they normally would have. So it's all positive. Very positive. Very positive. I like his demeanor, his athleticism, quickness, balance, ball skills, and attention to detail, knowing what to do, making instinctive adjustments that you can't coach, or you can talk about coaching, but not everybody gets. And very positive. He's done a great job. Nate is day in, day out, his stock's going up.